A gruesome story leads off our newscast.
Milwaukee police found body parts in a Northside apartment, and now they wonder if they've uncovered some kind of death factory.
At least 30 people have been found dead at a hotel.
Police found parts of bodies, leading them to believe the man they arrested is a mass murderer.
Z-O-Z-O.
Oh my God!
And welcome everybody to another episode of Lopotomized. I'm Kevin, and tonight's got a very special episode for you guys. No Kyle, no Amanda tonight, but that doesn't mean I'm flying solo. So I'm here with Tiffany.
Tiffany of Pan. The Tiffany Gothic Pan, Celt,
yes.
Also.
Yes, there you go.
Yes,
So yeah, we're here just, we met at the recent Horror Hotel Festival, so talked about wanting to do a little collaboration, so here you are.
Absolutely.
I mean, first off, thank you for making the trip.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to be here.
Good.
So yeah.
Good, good, good. So you said actually when you were coming up that you were around this area working on a film project?
Yeah, I'm actually working on, it's been kind of a long time coming. It's, I've been getting just some footage for a new web series that I've been working on. And actually, I started working on it last Halloween because I'm a media ambassador for this really cool haunted attraction called Castle Blood in Monessen, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And I had this idea just to do for part of my my media promotion for the haunted attraction to do some cool skits within the haunted attraction. And it turned into this two-part skit called Lost in a Nightmare. And I was like, you know what? I would like to expand upon this. So I have like a treatment written up for it, and I've been getting footage at different locations, including when I was at Horror Hotel.
Okay.
Because some of the hotel that was such a nice creepy hotel. I always tell people that was such a nice creepy hotel to have that in. Because it was just totally giving Overlook vibes.
It totally had those weird vibes to
it. It really did. That was the perfect place. Yes.
Yeah.
So I have been working on getting more footage for Lost in a Nightmare because I wanted to do more for that this summer.
Okay.
And, you know, and I do have, I'm doing like the first 5 episodes mainly by myself with but with help from other filmmakers that I know. Mm. In the Ohio as well as Pittsburgh area.
Okay.
The first 5 episodes, just because I am kind of getting a feel to where I want the series to go. It's mainly going to be me, but as I, you know, after the first 5 episodes, as we continue, you know, obviously I do want to involve, filmmaker friends of mine, more, but yeah, I have been working on, Lost in a Nightmare and just getting those first 5 episodes going. The first 2 are available because I did release them last Halloween as just like I said, like a skit to help promote Castle Blood. But but the way it was taking shape, I was like, you know what? I could do more with this.
There's more to tell with it.
Yes,
no,
exactly.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Where can everybody watch those?
So it's on my YouTube channel, the Tiffany After Hours YouTube channel. I have 2 YouTube channels, one for my music and one for my After Hours Chats podcast.
Okay.
And my After Hours Chats podcast also has a little bit more of like my horror and paranormal content on it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas my music page is more like gothic Celtic type medieval type of stuff.
Yeah,
fantasy.
Nice.
But Lost in a Nightmare, that's going to be on my YouTube channel, and as it grows I would like for it to maybe be on Bloodstream or one of those other streaming sites. So we'll see.
Okay.
But it's starting out on my After Hours YouTube channel.
I mean, I'm sure you could get it on Tubi.
Yes.
Given some of the stuff I've watched on Tubi, I'm sure you can get it on Tubi without much of a problem.
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm looking into Tubi as well. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because some of the stuff, I mean, that's the thing with Tubi. It's like hit or miss.
Big time.
Seen I've seen some pretty brilliant stuff on Tubi.
So have I.
Like Stalker Jane, which was a film that won awards at the Horror Hotel. Mm-hmm. That's on Tubi. And like that's really, really good movie. And then there's other stuff where I was just like, you know, I appreciate the effort. Mm-hmm. You know,
it seems like you're having fun doing it.
It seems like you had a great time making it. I can appreciate that. But I don't know, maybe go back. I don't know. Go back to, I'm not saying give up. I would never tell anybody, because I hate when people say that.
Just give it up.
Up. You're probably that person nobody ever wants to invite anywhere because you talk like you know everything.
Exactly.
But I would never tell somebody, oh, yeah, just give it up. I would tell somebody, okay, take what you learned from this. Go back to the drawing board and really be honest with yourself on where, you know, how you can make that better.
Yeah.
You know, how you can really grow from this and really make a movie or a song or whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. That's like, you know, that you can actually say, hey, yeah, like this is good. Mm. I can send it to film festivals and, you know, maybe possibly get it screened there or place or something like that.
See what happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So yeah. But that's what I was, you know, trying to work a little bit on this week, especially since it's not as sweltering hot.
Yeah, it's definitely calmed down a little bit.
Yeah,
air finally cleared back up, so that's nice as well too.
Exactly.
Thanks, Canada.
Yeah,
but
yeah, so it's just kind of like, okay, fresh air, decent weather, okay, I can get some outdoor shots and all of that. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Can you give me a little, like, just no spoilers, of course, but a little base synopsis of what the series is actually about?
Okay, yeah. So when I did the skits, the premise was a woman waking up in a world that kind of seems like it's in between her real, like, 3D world and kind of like the astral plane, more of another world, like I said, like the astral and maybe perhaps another dimension. We don't know.
Okay.
But
basically the veil's extremely thin and both sides are starting to bleed into one another, basically.
And she is being followed by a shadow figure.
Okay.
And we don't know who this shadow figure is. However, there are some hints as the episodes go on, and eventually we do find out who the shadow is and why the shadow has such a significance. And it does kind of have a little bit of a Nightmare on Elm Street type of deal where she, you know, anytime she goes to sleep, kind of like how they see Freddy, you know, anytime she goes to sleep, it's like she sees the shadow and the shadow is stalking her. And but then it also gets to the point where she thinks she's starting to see the shadow in her waking life.
Okay.
So it's one of those things where it's okay, you know, is there a portal opening up, or is this maybe some real life coincidence, or maybe it's something else? And I've shot at a couple of really cool locations. Even if I'm like just getting some B-roll, I know a couple people that do have some really cool businesses. Castle Blood, obviously, I shot a good portion of the first two episodes, and there's like a creepy hotel I'm staying at, like at the one at the horror hotel convention.
Yeah,
I'll get some, especially of like the hallways and, Yeah, and I use a lot of long, creepy looking hallways in these episodes.
I love long, creepy looking hallways.
Oh yeah, well, you got it. You get a long, creepy hallway, and you're making a film. You got to take advantage.
Yep. Even if it's not, yeah. Even if it's not in the film, you just got to put
even
it in.
Even if it's not in the film, you'll use it
just
at some
it
point.
In. Yeah,
exactly.
Just write it in.
You will use it at some point. And then there's like a haunted park close to where I live, where I got some footage, especially of this old abandoned water tower.
Okay.
And also there's this other cool shop called Modern Alchemy Creative, a house of crystals. I got some really cool shots in there too. So, but yeah, but it's coming together. And like I said, it's been a long time coming. I've wanted to expand upon it, and I've written out treatments and scenes for it. But I definitely want to release more episodes, especially with us going into spooky season now.
Oh yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. I mean, now's the time to strike.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, it's awesome though. That's great.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I wish I was doing something like that. I really
you
do.
<can. laughs>
I know I still can. Mm-hmm. Like there's a couple of things. I remember a while back, me and my one buddy had this idea to do like shorts basically of just like special effects, like, you know, slasher kills, basically.
Yeah.
Have, like, a single character and then, like, just do that and just, you know, ridiculous stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, we actually did make a really poorly made movie way back in the day.
Hey, yeah.
But
maybe you can upload it to Tubi.
I know, right?
Hey,
you know, we could probably get it on Tubi, honestly.
Yeah, exactly.
I would just need to ask everybody's permission.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, yeah, it was just a bunch of us fooling around with the camera, you know, and it was a possession, I guess, slasher movie or something like that.
Interesting. That's an interesting premise there.
The name of it was Baby Games.
Oh.
And the premise of it was there was this doctor who created a video game that basically when you played it, you turned into a murderous baby.
Oh.
So we literally had our buddy in a adult diaper, like filming scenes. Like he was a literal baby. And we had the baby mask and everything, like had the whole transformation and stuff like that.
That
like,
is hilarious.
It was fantastic. I get killed by him. In the movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I get my heart ripped out.
Ooh.
Really wish I could have gotten a second take, but yeah, it was fun.
Oh, man. Yeah. That sounds like fun. It sounds like more like a horror comedy.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we like filmed everything in order too, with like weeks in between.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be a shot of, you know, a foot of snow, and then literally the next shot is leaves. It's just like just shit like that, you know.
it's like don't mind the extreme weather change there.
It's Ohio. It's Ohio. That's Ohio weather works.
Oh but, wow!
I don't know. It was fun though. It was a good time.
Oh wow! Yeah, that sounds like fun.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, the group of friends I had back in the day, that was kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Like, they made some other stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, shout out to you guys, but they made a movie called Horse Face.
Okay.
Which is basically exactly what it sounds like.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a guy with a horse for a face, and like, basically, but it's like another horror comedy, because everybody, like, plays it off at first like nothing is weird, but then finally, like, there's a scene later on when the guy leaves and they're like, hey, you ever notice like you kind of looks like a horse, you know, like, and they just have this whole conversation about it, and
oh
then
my
yeah, it's yeah. it's very Sleepaway Camp with its anti-bullying message.
Oh yeah,
because they basically bully him and then he comes back and starts killing everybody to get revenge. But I don't know, it's just stupid, fun, you know, stuff like that. That's awesome.
goodness.
So you also do music.
I do,
Tell me about some of that.
Okay, so it's very gothic, Celtic in nature. It's a combination of those two genres.
That's awesome.
And it does have a lot of medieval influence as well, some fantasy themed influence, and I've gotten comparisons up. When I was on this Uncanny Earth, one of the guys on there compared my style to a band called Incubus Succubus, and I don't know if you've heard of them. They're a rock band.
Incubus. I don't think that's the one you're talking about.
No.
Not that one. Okay. I didn't think so, but yes. I just want to make sure.
But
So it's both of them.
Yeah,
it's Incubus and Succubus.
I recently had somebody say, "Oh, reminds me a little of Nightwish too." One particular music project I'm working on right now. Mm-hmm. And the songs are inspired by the Wars of the Roses of medieval England. Yorks versus the Lancastrians, mm-hmm. or the Tudors, who would soon, later on go on to become the Tudor dynasty with starting with Henry the Seventh. Henry the very infamous Henry the Eighth. I mean, if you don't know that part of history, you've probably at least vaguely heard of Henry
I know
the
that
Eighth.
One. Like, I'm not as up on the rest of it. I actually think I have a book in my queue, mm-hmm. so about that period. So I just haven't gotten to it yet.
And then Mary the First, and then Elizabeth the First, who the Tudor dynasty ended. So it's so interesting because the Tudor dynasty, it's so infamous, and especially Henry the Eighth, and even Elizabeth the First and Mary the First. But it was so short lived. It was like they came in with an explosion and then just went out with an explosion, basically. My album and media project called Kings, Queens, and Relics. Mm-hmm. It starts at the beginning of the Wars of the Roses and Edward IV first coming onto the throne. Mm-hmm. And we kind of follow that turn, that sequence of events into the reign of Henry VIII and then the death of Henry VIII. And then there's a few songs about the Tower of London.
Nice.
It's been a very fun project to work on. Mm. And I do have a few piano and voice only versions of a couple of the songs currently out on my music page.
Oh, nice.
So the songs that are currently available for listening. And again, it's just the piano and a piano and voice only version. Mm. It's not the full, the full band or full orchestral version just yet. Though that's not been released just yet. But Winter's King, which is about Henry the Seventh, Henry the Eighth's father, mm-hmm. Lost Autumn, which is about Richard the Third, Rise of the Falcon, which is about Anne Boleyn, and Dreams of a Mad King, which is about Henry the Eighth and his impending death. He's on his deathbed in that song. And also a song called Battle Cries in War and Blood. So
nice.
That's the most recent one.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thank you.
No, it's funny that it's, you mentioned it being Celtic music.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually a fife player.
Oh, yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, I've played fife in the Cleveland St. Patrick's Day Parade probably like 9-10 times.
Oh, interesting.
I was like one of those guys. I actually played fife in a hippie jam band for a couple of years, which is kind of fun. That's kind of interesting. So,
oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's so interesting. I love it. Yeah. That is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I play piano or keyboards.
Nice. That's awesome. I'm trying to learn, but it's very hard.
I play some percussions as well because I'm in a couple other music groups too.
Yeah.
So I play percussion as well. I do play some guitar, but it's more for songwriting purposes. I'm not quite ready to go live with my guitar playing just yet. I'm working on that though.
That's
and
good.
I do know some recorder and tin whistle as well.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm actually trying to incorporate it into the band I'm in now.
All
so
right. Yeah. What's your band?
Our band, we are Bradford's Gate.
Oh, cool. Okay.
We pretty much just like play all around here.
Oh,
you
nice.
Know, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have actually gone and played the Akron Pizza Fest a couple times as
oh,
well.
Cool.
So
Well, that sounds like fun.
But yeah, no, it's a good time. Yeah, it's actually both me and Amanda. We actually both sing in the same band.
Oh, very cool. Wow.
Yeah, I'm trying to incorporate Land Down Under by A Men at Work into the set list.
Oh, my gosh.
And I can, because I can really easily transfer the flute part to Fife.
Which
I had before, actually. So. It's just been a couple of years. It's more relearning it than, you know, figuring it out the first time. So,
yeah. Oh, you totally. Yeah, you could totally do the Fife with that song.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like I did it way, way back in the day. So,
yeah.
Basically, the hippie jam band that I was mentioned before, one night a year for a Halloween party, we would be a cover band.
Okay.
So, pretty much, we would just. Month or so, leading up to it, just learned a bunch of cover songs, and that was one of the ones that came up because they're like, "Hey, you can play Fife. Can you figure this out?"
Yeah.
So I was like, "Sure, yeah, we'll find out." So yeah, I can totally be done now. But, it was it was always fun.
Playing music is fun. I love it.
I'm actually just starting another project as well.
Ooh.
So, but we are so new that we don't even have a name yet.
Okay.
So,
it's a work in progress.
Yeah, the work in progress. We've only been at it for about a month, month and a half, something like that. But it's coming along. So it's a little bit different because the Bradford's Gate is, two singers, two guitars, bass, and drums.
Yeah.
And this other one that we're doing is guitar, bass, drums, keyboard, and I'm singing.
Oh,
so,
cool. Yeah. Nice.
So yeah, it'll be nice to be able to work with somebody who can play keys and all that. It opens up a bunch of stuff that I always wanted to do but never could, as well. So that's definitely exciting. So
yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah. Sounds fun.
Yep. Do you have anything else going on, like possibly in the future or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, like I said, I am working on my new album. Mm-hmm. I am working on that Lost in a Nightmare series. Mm-hmm. I have my After Hours podcast, which I've been doing I have a new episode that comes out every Friday, and unless I otherwise note it, usually on a holiday, except for Halloween, because it launched on Halloween, and because I always wanted the anniversary for that podcast to be on Halloween. But
I should have done that. All right. Sorry.
It's like, missed opportunity there.
Yep.
But we can launch something else that can be on Halloween.
Yeah, there we go.
But there you go. But I've been, just getting some more guests there, and and like I said, usually I won't record one. I won't release a podcast episode on a holiday, because what I found is most people are off doing their thing. And people do come back and listen to stuff, but I just don't think that's fair to launch a guest on a holiday when probably it's not going to get the most listeners at that time. So
yeah, that's understandable.
So I'd rather just launch it at a time where people can. More people can be, ready for the episode.
Mm-hmm.
But I have that going on. And then I do have another sort of podcast I've been trying to rework and just kind of like taking a direction with it. And it's called Bonfires and Castles. It's more history. My passion for history side.
Okay.
And also ancient wisdom and living history. And cause I also do living history and reenacting. I have a Substack for that. And I finally have an idea with where exactly I want to go with that, because I don't know, like to me, it just seems like there's a ton of podcasts that already cover a lot of historical stuff, which, mean, yeah. And I guess it can be argued that, well, even with what I cover on the After Hours, it's horror and paranormal. There's a lot of those podcasts too. But I don't know. For me, I just think it's easier for a podcast like that to inject my own personality and my own unique take on it. And therefore, whoever that appeals to will listen. Mm-hmm. Whereas with like a history podcast, it's a little bit more challenging. So I am taking a little bit more, it'll still be some like history and stuff, but what I'm doing with it is it's going to kind of accompany the historical research that I'm doing for my Kings, Queens, and Relics album. So what I'll do is just talk about some of the new research I found, some of the process of making the songs for that album, and also covering some of my living history projects too, interviewing some people from the living history world. And I think that's where I'm going to take that, as opposed to, and I also like to incorporate some ancient wisdom, like the different Sabbaths, like Imbolc, Mabon, all of, Samhain, and just like a lot of the ancient Celtic and Irish festivals that
awesome.
So I love talking about that stuff too, and ancient magic and lore and all of that. So so I think that that's also where I'm going to be taking that as well. And for one of the living history museums that I do stuff for, I'm actually in charge of their Halloween lantern tours this year.
Oh, yeah. It's
the Depreciation Lands Museum in Allison Park, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And nice. I am writing the stories for them. And so I am super excited about that. It's Celtic lore, and and talking about like the Fuela, or also, the Irish werewolves, if you will. And they're different from the werewolves that we know of.
Yeah. I mean, they've got a lot of their own spin on a lot of really well-known legends and stuff like that. But
yeah.
I mean, look at, fairies, I mean, you think of, Tinkerbell nowadays and everything, but if you talk to them, they're like, no, we thought there were fairies around, we weren't going anywhere near that.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a completely different, thing.
It
was kind of funny because, outside, in our yard decorations, like, Julie has a little fairy house. I'm like, get that fucking thing out of here. Because, like, I mean, I'm Irish too. I'm 50% Irish. So I'm just like, get that thing fucking out of here. Like, don't want that here.
Well, if you're nice to the fairies, they'll.
I mean, from what I've read, that doesn't matter.
Yeah. Fairies are. They can be. See, they're not the same as other spirits that might want to actually be like, okay, yeah, human, I like you, I'll help you, whereas fairies, they can turn on you at any time. They can help you one minute and the next minute just decide, hey, you pissed me off.
I don't trust any of the elementals. None of them.
Yeah, well, one of the stories that I am writing for the Lantern Tour event, it's actually a headless horseman from Irish lore.
Does he throw a potato?
No, instead of a pocket. No, he doesn't throw a potato.
All right, I figured he would throw a potato, but all right. All
right,
sorry.
No, he's called the Dullahan.
Okay.
but it's one of the legends that inspired Washington Irving to write The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. But the Dullahan is very interesting because, and I might have to water this down a little bit because we do still have to keep it relatively family friendly. But the Dullahan actually He's a headless horseman. He carries his head with him, and he uses his head to scan the area for people that might die, for people that, you know, for like victims and all of that. And he also has a whip made out of his spine.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's pretty metal.
Ooh, yeah, I know, right? I could see that being like the cover of a metal album.
I was going to say, that sounds sweet. Like up on, you know, have the horse rearing back and he's got the, you know, the bone whip and everything that. Like, I should throw that into some AI later.
Hey, there you go. Comes out.
Probably just pop something. Yeah. It's gonna be sweet.
And then, of course, there's the changelings, which that's basically fairies leaving like a sickly or an elderly fairy in place of a human child and taking that human child to live with them in the fairy world.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I barely remember the movie. You remember the 80s movie, The Changeling?
Oh, The Changeling. I've seen it.
Yeah. I like barely remember that. It's like Thomas E. Scott, I think, is stars in it. But
yeah, I think so. Yeah.
No, that's sweet though. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know what? I would say don't even worry about, you know, there being a lot of, you know, history podcasts or stuff like that. I mean, like, look at what we do. Like, there's a million movie podcasts. Yeah. There's a million true crime podcasts.
Yeah.
The way I always look at it is, okay, you know what? Like, yeah, we did an episode on Jaws. You know, like, so many people have done podcast episodes on the movie Jaws. Yeah. But you know what? Up until that point, we hadn't.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's just the whole point. It's like, this is my take on whatever the subject is.
Right.
And you know what? Like, it's probably going to be a little bit different than theirs and theirs and theirs, or it might be very similar. It doesn't matter, but it's still my personal take.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm putting out there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, that's really cool. Yeah. But for me, it was just kind of like, okay, what can I do to keep this from like getting stale, not just for me, but also for the listeners too. So but I'm, you know, just really enjoying doing my after hours podcast, and I've had an opportunities to talk to a lot of really cool people, meet a lot of really cool, very talented people, and also go on some really cool paranormal adventures as well. So,
Have you actually gone out hunting with any of them?
Oh yeah, with Whispering Souls Paranormal. We actually, they actually had a paranormal investigation at Castle Blood. Because Castle Blood, it's inside a, I think it's like a 110-year-old funeral home.
Okay. Because I was going to ask, like, what's the actual structure?
It's in an old, century-old funeral home. And, so, I mean, and there's a lot of activity in there. I mean, even with me just, you know, filming in there and taking photos, I've caught orbs. And with orbs, yes, you do have, it is important to blow up the the footage on, like, say, a large screen TV, or it, just to make sure that it wasn't just like dust flying around. Yeah.
Well, I mean, usually when it's dust, it's multiple.
Yes.
You know, like, you see a bunch. So when you see that lone one, that's way more worth taking a closer look at. So I was a paranormal investigator too, actually.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I actually, one of the private residences that we investigated the one time was actually a turn of the century funeral home.
Yeah.
That they were having some problems in, so.
Did you guys find anything?
We got some things. That was kind of a weird one, because I remember, you know, I'll say this for everybody out there. Don't make judgments about techniques, because you never know how well they're going to perform.
Yeah.
A buddy of mine actually downloaded an app on his phone. And the whole time I'm like, dude, this is bullshit. Like, dude, get out of here. Like, get this out of my investigation. Like, you're fucking, like, you know.
Was it the Ghost Tube app by chance?
I don't remember what it was. It was a long time ago. But it was basically turned turned your phone into a spirit box. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just go through all the radio stations and then, mm-hmm. you know, get stuff. But a lot of the stuff and the words that we're getting mm-hmm. were relevant to, you know, the people who were living in the house and stuff yeah. like that. And I just kept like, I don't know, I just probably got 4 or 5 hits off of it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was just, you know, because I started out, I was like, there's no way this is going to work. This yeah, is on your phone. Like,
I can see the skepticism around some of the apps.
100%. You know? I was like, dude, you got mm-hmm. it from the Play Store. But then it actually delivered, and I was, you know, taken aback a little bit.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. so don't, I mean, don't ever, you know, judge anything too harshly as far as that goes.
Right.
So.
Yeah. yeah, because I know with a Ghost 2, some people say, oh, it's just kind of like a party game or something like that. Mm. But you know, but there's even some, there's the this program that I know some paranormal investigators use and, you know, that you upload to your a laptop.
Okay.
And it's actually supposed to pick up sounds and voices of whatever spirits are in there.
So, okay.
But I like dousing rods. Dousing rods are my jam.
Never had a lot of luck with those.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
not wow. really. I mean, maybe I just suck at them. Like, I don't know, but I've just never had good luck with dousing rods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like dousing rods. What's your investigative equipment of choice?
I mean, honestly, the digital recorder. Mm. Like that's, I would mm-hmm. much rather just go off into somewhere where we think there might be yeah. something, mm-hmm. you know, and just see if I can get something to say hi.
Yeah. Yeah. What about cat balls? Do you use cat balls at all?
No.
Okay.
Uh-uh.
Yeah. Cause the way those work, you basically just kind of throw them on the ground. And then when there's a spirit around the cat ball will light up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's cool. Well, we've actually had flashlights turn on
yes,
and off
yes.
on their own. Mm-hmm. So, like, I actually have like video footage of it like
yeah.
happening. It was kind of amazing. It was actually at Bobby Mackey's Music World.
Okay.
Where that happened, if you're familiar with that that spot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're actually in the process of rebuilding on the original site right now. So, and hopefully they finish soon because
yeah.
I mean, I've been there probably like 15-20 times, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad drive from here. It's in Wilder, Kentucky, was where yeah. the original spot was.
Mm-hmm.
From here, probably about 3.5 hours. You know, mm-hmm. you just head straight down 71. Can't oh, wow. miss it, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, but I had friends who lived in the next town over, so mm-hmm. I was always going down to Kentucky to see them, and every mm-hmm. time we went down there, I was like, we're going to Bobby Mackey's, right? Like, come on.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But yeah, I love that place. The place mm-hmm. is amazing. They have a alternate spot they're using now.
Oh, okay.
It's not the same.
It's just, never the same.
It's just not the same.
It's never the same.
It's just a weird thing with Bobby Mackey's because mm-hmm. it always felt like going home.
Mm-hmm.
Weirdly. Mm-hmm. It was weird. Like as soon as I walked into the place the first yeah. time, I was just like,
there's just places that do that to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, yeah, it really kind of has that, like that, like you said, that going home feeling.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, there's places that definitely do that. And I know one type of place that I would like to explore, actually two. I would love to just explore an abandoned carnival, abandoned amusement park.
That'd be sweet.
Also,
you want to go sneak into SeaWorld?
Woo! There you go.
or Joggle Lake.
All right. Hey, why not?
But, I mean, no, we're totally not going to sneak into. We're totally not going to sneak into SeaWorld or Joggle Lake.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Obviously not. But also. I also am intrigued by abandoned drive-ins.
Okay.
Just because so many of those drive-ins have been around for so long
mm-hmm.
and there's so much history there. And yeah, there's just something about an abandoned drive-in that is just so melancholy, I guess, just so sad, just because, yeah, that was once a place that was hopping and buzzing with activity and movies and people having fun. And then it's just kind of like just this ghostly, just relic of itself, you know?
We actually have a still active one, probably about 15 minutes from here,
which is awesome. Drive-ins.
Yeah, drive-ins are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. I remember, remember one time I actually got to watch Drive-In Massacre at the drive-in.
Oh,
it's fantastic.
Wow.
I don't know if you've ever seen that
movie. While you had a drive-in, I love it. Yeah,
yeah, it's fantastic. I don't know if you've ever seen that one. It's a very obscure, like, late 70s movie. It's not that great, but...
But it's still fun to watch it at drive-in.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, you're just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, he's like killing people at the drive-in with a sword for some reason. Like, and he's not a ninja. Like, if you were going to ask, he's not a ninja at all. But yeah, it's just kind of a fun, goofy movie.
A time-traveling night? There
you go. I don't know, something. Yeah. It was. I don't even remember what his damn deal was, but yeah, like, no, the drive-in is fantastic.
Yeah, I love drive-ins. But even, like, old movie theaters, abandoned movie theaters, I went to Point Pleasant, West Virginia back in May, and of course, you know, went to the heart of Mothman Town.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
Did
you stay at the hotel right there in town?
No, that's closed right now.
Oh, it's closed.
They're reopening it. It's being renovated.
Okay,
so they're reopening it supposedly next year. So I'm gonna hold them to that because that's that's a big hot spot for paranormal activity. Mm-hmm. As well.
I hope they don't modernize it too much.
Oh my gosh!
I really hope.
Be awful.
Is it like it felt like being at grandma's house, like walking through that whole place? Like,
yeah. Well, that's why I like staying at old bed and breakfast. Like if I visit Gettysburg, I don't stay in a hotel. Stay in one of the bed and breakfasts right in town.
Yeah, that's where we stayed when we were there too.
Yeah, even better if it's haunted.
Yeah,
you know?
I know, right? Exactly.
Where do you stay in Gettysburg?
Oh God, I can't remember the name of the place, but it was one of those, like, it was just a big old house. And like, we just had the room upstairs and everything.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, it was pretty cool. But yeah, it was like right on the main street, right in town.
Yeah. So. I've stayed at the Sentimental Journey bed and breakfast.
Okay.
That's a really cool place. They like their rooms are made to look like different eras. There's like a World War One era room. There's like a Victorian era room, which is where I stayed in because, like, you know, I like World War One era, but if I'm gonna stay in Gettysburg, I just want the whole 19th century 1800s experience.
100%.
Yeah, absolutely. So I stayed in one of their Victorian rooms, which is really, really cool. And they have, you know, like a little museum downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
One of them that I love visiting, I've been on several ghost tours on, is the Farnham Inn.
Okay.
Yes. Have you been there?
We did. I remember walking past it. I don't think we went inside though.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so creepy in there. If I was going to stay in a room in there, it would be the Sarah Black room.
Okay.
That has the wedding dress that supposedly people have woken up to seeing the wedding dress floating
around. Just floating
around. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. But don't stay in any place involving Harvey Sweeney because he was not a good person. And he's not supposedly not a very good spirit either.
Yeah, so, he's one of them, huh?
Like Sweeney's Tavern is named after him. So,
okay.
Yeah,
Gettysburg was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely suggest anybody gets the chance to check it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but in Point Pleasant, when I was walking down, because you're kind of leaving the more busy areas where there's like the Mothman Museum and all of that, and you're heading more down toward the part of town where there's like a little bit more emptier buildings. Mm-hmm. And there was an abandoned movie theater, and it was totally giving Welcome to Derry vibes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I was just like, yeah, I'm almost expecting Pennywise to like hop out of,
Like looking in all the sewers and shit.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But it did. It very much looked like, okay, I've come back to Derry. Mm-hmm. And
I remember being really excited to go to an actual Piggly Wiggly. When we were there.
I've never been to a Piggly Wiggly.
It's the grocery store right there in town. Mm. Like, it was right there. You just walked out of the hotel, went straight, and it was right there.
Oh,
I just saw it, and I was like, lost my shit. I was like, are you serious? I was like, did we literally go back in time? Like, I don't have any service. Yes. There's a Piggly Wiggly right there. Like, what the hell's going on?
That
was amazing.
There's places like that. Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Absolutely.
Especially when you get deep in there. Like,
mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I've never been to a Piggly Wiggly. Mm-hmm. I'll have to look it up and see where there's one closest to me.
That's probably the closest one, honestly. Well, when you go back, go to the Piggly Wiggly.
Okay.
So there
you
go.
Yes, I'll have to see where the Piggly Wiggly is.
Because, like, literally no joke, I would bet money that that's the closest
one. That's the closest one. Oh, man.
With it being 2026, that's probably the closest one.
Oh, gosh. Because I grew up in northeastern Pennsylvania, closer to the Poconos, like Wilkes-Barre, Scranton area.
I was just there in September.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just
for a night, but
we were in
the Poconos. We were on our way to Atlantic City, actually, so we stopped in the Poconos and spent the night.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I love the Poconos. But even that area, not a whole lot has changed,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it really is like going back in time, driving up that way.
It was a cool little spot. We were just kind of like, I was looking around like, because we were on one of the main streets, like we just stayed at a Marriott or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I was like, this looks like a cool little, area.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of hang out, a bunch of like different shops and stuff like that. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I've been wanting to, because one thing that I planned on doing with my channel this summer, and with the weather seeming to get a little bit cooler, at least than what it was, is this haunted highways of Pennsylvania,
okay.
of southern Pennsylvania, inspired by the book by Tony LaVorna and Thomas White. And I've had Tony LaVorna as a paranormal researcher on my show, my after hours show, and I'm going to be having Thomas White on as one of my spooky season guests.
Nice. That's
in September. Awesome. But they wrote this book, Haunted Highways of Pennsylvania. And or Haunted Roads of Pennsylvania. It's Haunted Roads of Pennsylvania. I keep saying Haunted Highways, but it's Haunted Roads. And
I think Haunted Highways is better, honestly.
I think so. Maybe that's why I keep trying to say it.
Yeah, alliteration is always the way to go when you're naming things like that. So.
Yeah, but it's Haunted Roads of I think it's like southwestern Pennsylvania or something like that. And I've been on one, but all the other ones I haven't had a chance to do. Well, part of it's because, I've had gigs, I've been busy, but also because it was like ungodly hot for like these last few weeks. And then you had the smoke didn't help.
Yeah.
That's not really ideal for going on an adventure. But what's nice about, visiting, these locations is that they're public roads. So you don't have to ask somebody for permission. Hey, can I come explore this area? Because because there are some areas where you have to do that because unfortunately the property was bought up by somebody because they decided to ruin it for people.
Of course. Yeah. Like they do.
So, I know. Right.
Yeah.
Well, cause in York, Pennsylvania, there's the Seven Rings of Hell, but somebody bought that property, so you can't just go on there and visit the Seven Rings of Hell. So it's just kind of like, you can't explore that area, but there's, I don't know if you've been to any of these places, but but in Tony LaVorna and Thomas White's book, there's like the Green Man Tunnel and like the different areas where the Green Man has been seen.
I've heard of him. I've never been to the tunnel.
Yeah. And then there's Blue Mist Road or Irwin Road, which I did get to go to. And that's actually not too far from me. So I visited there a few times, but I also visited there with my friend Matt recently when he came in to do something for my podcast, and also, you know, we were just kind of doing some filming on Irwin Road and stuff. But I did get to do Irwin Road, and then there's like the Crying Bridge, which I think I'll do next. That's another. And I think, you know what, it would be a better time to do it now with, like I said, we're going into spooky season. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yeah. What are there any haunted roads around here where we're at in Ohio?
Close by as far as haunted roads. I mean, of course, we have a crybaby bridge.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I feel like
there's a ton of those.
So, bridge, yeah.
But unfortunately, as far as just a straight up haunted road, like, mm-hmm. not a whole lot is coming to mind. I know there's that one that's, I can't remember what road it is, but the headless motorcycle. I don't know if you ever heard that story.
I've heard of it. Yeah.
Okay.
I've heard of it, but can you refresh my memory?
Basically, the story is, I guess, this guy came back from war, found out his girl, you know, fell for somebody else, and then was all upset and rode his motorcycle out to this road. It was raining that night. He got in an accident and got decapitated. Yeah. So that's the story of the guy. So apparently the thing is, if you go to a certain spot on the road and turn your car off, but then flash your lights three times, honk your horn, you're supposed to see headlights appear and they just drive towards you and then eventually just drive through you, basically.
Wow.
And that's supposed to be the guy.
And you've never tried that.
I've never tried that. I got to go back and look in, because it's... have you ever heard of the Haunted Ohio book series?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's chronicled in there.
Oh.
So that's just one of the ones that I remember, you know. But I've never actually pulled the trigger and gone there. I should, though.
Yeah. Let us know what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's another. Because I got this book called Haunted West Virginia.
Okay.
And that talks about the different stuff outside of the Mothman, because you think West Virginia, you think Mothman.
Yeah, that's the immediate go-to.
And Mothman's cool, you know, but there's also a lot of other stuff. Places to explore in West Virginia. So I was just like, yeah, you know, I'll get this book and, you know, hey, maybe visit a place or two here. And
did they mention the sheep squatch in that book by chance?
I believe so, yeah.
Did they? Oh my God. Okay. So yeah, previous episode from us, we did a whole episode on the sheep squatch.
Well, yeah, the sheep squatch. Yeah.
Spoiler alert: we were not very convinced. So hate to ruin the magic, but that one was a little rough. Maybe we just didn't get enough information on it. But
well, I think that's a little more. That's one of the more obscure cryptids.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your favorite cryptid?
I mean, I got to go with the classic Bigfoot.
Bigfoot?
Yeah, got to go with the classic.
Yeah, I had Brian Seach on my show, and he's a Bigfoot specialist, and that's like his thing, is Bigfoot.
Yeah.
I'm very fascinated with the Wendigo.
Nice. The Wendigo is sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Wendigo is awesome.
I mean, I don't know if it would be awesome if you ran into one. But,
I mean, you just don't have to eat somebody, right? Like, isn't that the deal?
Something like that.
Yeah, as long as you don't eat somebody, then you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just don't eat somebody.
Just don't eat somebody.
Yeah, just don't eat people. Don't eat people.
Just don't eat people.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep, exactly. But yeah, isn't that the thing with the Wendigo? Is like you commit cannibalism and then he shows up and corrupts your soul and turns you into a Wendigo, basically.
Yeah, something I think.
It's like something like that.
Something like that, yeah. And there's another legend about the Wendigo and that actually has it being a wind spirit.
Okay.
Yeah, because there is one where it's kind of like this, like cannibalistic cryptid. Mm-hmm. But it's also the wind spirit. And I don't know if you remember the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark books.
I have a hard copy of all three of them in one.
Yeah, so, me too. Yep. I have that hard copy of all three of them. Yep. And I just recently, from the wonderful world of eBay, bought the individual soft cover books.
Nice.
With Stephen Gamel's. Oh, my gosh. I know they did try to... for whatever reason, tried to like replace Stephen Gamel's drawings.
Yeah, and it's like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, and it was the guy, I think they had the artist that did like Lemony Snicket, which he's very talented. I mean, he was great for Lemony Snicket, but...
Yeah, but it, like, why?
Not for...
Just why?
No, yeah,
there's no, there's no reason to.
Like, no, yeah.
I mean, unless you're like just trying to get out of... you know, paying him a royalty or something like that.
Exactly.
Which is the only thing I can think of.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, his illustrations made those books.
Oh, yeah.
They're amazing. Just those, like, just straight up black and white, you know. Mm-hmm. I love that one with, like, the giant skull guy and he's, like, tapping the kid on the shoulder. Like, if you remember that one, like, the giant skull with, like, the tiny body and he's, like, tapping around the shoulder.
I know which one you're talking about.
It's so cool.
I know which one you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And the girl that babysat for me actually introduced me to those books.
Okay.
That babysat me as a kid.
Yeah.
Introduced me to those books. And the way she introduced it.
There we go. Yeah, here
you
we go.
Know that story, The Haunted House, with like the big picture of the woman who's basically obviously she's dead and she has no eyes and everything.
Yep.
Yeah. My babysitter snuck up on me with the book in front of her, and then she goes, "Hello, little girl," in this witchy voice. I turn around.
And that's the picture.
That's there. I jumped like 5 feet in the air. But after that, I was so fascinated with those books.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just, I was hooked.
That's awesome. You know? Well, I mean, in the story, she was nice, though. Like,
yeah.
She was a cool ghost.
She was.
She let that person, you know, borrow their finger bone so they could catch the killer.
Catch the one who killed her. Mm-hmm. And then she said, I'll then show you where
the money is.
The money is that he stole, and then you can give it to your church.
Yeah, or not do that at all.
Yeah.
Why?
Like, exactly. Yeah, so... So, yeah, I mean, she was actually a good spirit when you think about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Or even The Dream. Do you remember that story?
The Dream. Sounds familiar.
It's another, it's like the big scary lady with like the long stringy black hair and tiny black eyes. And then she's just like, it's at a, like a Dutch angle and she's like kind of like this. And, but she's another one, like she's scary looking, but she's another one who is basically telling the girl in the story, "Hey, get out of here. This is an evil place. Go.
Yeah. Yeah. Those stories are amazing.
Oh yeah.
Well, the illustrations, the stories were very good, but if it wasn't for the illustrations, I don't think that book would have had as big of an impact.
It
would have been great. Like, you know, like the stories are good. Don't get me wrong.
Oh,
like,
I
love all the stories and the fact that he kind of went around and curated them from different parts of the country and actually did the legwork instead of, you know, just, you know, making them all up. So they're all based on like actual folklore for
actual
the most
folklore,
part.
Yeah. Well, even like the story with the Wendigo, it's the version of it is the one where it's like this.
Yeah,
wind
I was gonna
spirit.
Say that's the more wind spirit one.
Yeah, and it basically
it's like my burning feet of fire. I remember.
Yeah, my feet of fire. Yeah, and like it lures you away, and it just drags you and
away you go.
Yeah, and away you go, and then your feet are burned away.
Yeah,
you know? And where you go, who knows?
Yeah, that's awesome. So on your After Hours podcast, is it just interviews or do you sometimes just talk about a paranormal thing? Or
I've done that before,
it seems mostly interviews.
It is mostly interviews, just simply because like I've had quite a lot of people agree to be on it or want to be on it,
mm-hmm.
so And I love talking to people. I love having conversation. Yeah. And I love getting different perspectives from people on different things, whether it's paranormal stuff, whether it's movies or their experience making a movie. I enjoy talking to people. But sometimes, every once in a while, I will do a monologue type of episode and talk about something that's maybe on my mind.
Okay.
But yeah, it's mostly been interviews, which I actually enjoy. Because like I said, I love getting the different perspectives from people. Yeah, and they may bring up something and make a point that maybe I didn't think about, you know? And yeah.
That's awesome. Yes. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll do that every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Like, every once in a while, I'll be like, I just need to get something out. Like, it happened on the last episode we recorded. I was like, hold on, before we get started, I just got to do this thing. Like, I call it a public service announcement. So.
Yeah.
And it's like, here we go. I mean, unfortunately, the last one was telling people not to watch a movie. But I don't like to bash people's art.
Yeah, I don't like doing that. Like I stated earlier in this episode, I don't like to tell people, oh, just give it up, because there's no reason for that.
Yeah, I just still never want this man to get his hands on another IP I care about ever again. So. So yeah, basically, I'll say it again. Return to Silent Hill.
Oh.
Do not watch Return to Silent Hill.
Okay.
Do not.
Do not. Okay.
Do not.
Okay.
Are you familiar at all with the Silent Hill
Silent
games?
Silent Hill, yeah.
Okay. Do you you play them and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you familiar with like Silent Hill 2? Because that's basically what this movie is trying
to
cover. Oh. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know, because they already made two others back in the day.
Yeah.
And I guess the same guy who made the first one from, like, 2006 came back and made this one. So I guess he was making his sequel or whatever.
Oh. Well, I know a lot of people have said the same thing about the Strangers remake.
Okay.
Have you seen those?
I have.
Well, what are your thoughts?
I really like the main actress, but as far as the movie goes, like, it's not great. It doesn't come close to especially the third one. Good God. But it doesn't come close to capturing that original feeling of the 2008 one.
No, I agree. I thought that the first remake, because my thing is, it's like, why did y'all have to stretch it out into three movies?
Yeah.
That could have easily been one movie.
It could have just been one thing.
It could have been one movie and probably would have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, would it have been a runaway hit? I don't know. But I think people would have had a better response to it had it been. Because, see, the thing is, I actually kind of enjoyed the second one.
Okay.
Because I liked that it was getting a little more fast paced. There was more action, and we seemed to be delving further into like the background of the town and the lore of the town and why, and even the sheriff. I thought the sheriff had so much potential to be this really cool villain. But then the third movie, it was just kind of like,
yeah,
it's like, okay, you kind of redeemed yourselves a little with the second film, but now it's like with the third film, I was just like,
right back down.
Exactly. So I say, yeah, the second film
too much backstory overall.
Yeah.
I think was the problem.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to just tell, you know, the whole story of the strain. It's like, no, dude, you're ruining it.
Sometimes stuff. You just need to have some brief flashbacks.
Yep, exactly.
People to get the point.
And let us figure it out. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't need to beat the audience over the head with it.
Right.
Like, I mean, I know, sorry, you know, nowadays everybody's like, you know, the TikTok generation and all that shit. But just make the movie and don't cater to the dumbest person in the audience.
Yeah, I think that that's also where they went wrong with that, too.
Exactly.
It's like, yeah, we're trying to cater to the dumbest person in the audience and spell it out for them.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, about those movies, I actually really, I liked the atmosphere. That was what I liked about those movies, was the fact that they did some really cool stuff with the atmosphere, especially in the woods and with the fog.
Oh, yeah.
And all of that. And
a lot of the visuals were pretty good.
I liked the visuals. Yeah. Yes. It was, and like you said, like the main actress I thought was really good.
Mm, yeah.
I think she definitely did the best she could with the material she was given.
Yep.
But that's the thing, though, too. I think that could have been a decent film had it had been condensed into one, maybe two tops. Maybe two movies tops. But I don't, I don't think that needed to be a trilogy.
No, yeah. Absolutely not. I mean, if it was me, I would have more or less just made another sequel and then maybe thrown some more snippets of the town and what's going on with it, that maybe they're more involved than it's just, you know, the three of them, maybe. Mm-hmm. But even that, like a whole, like, well, we're talking like a whole town of murderers and stuff like that. Get the fuck out of here.
On the one hand, I do like the premise of like this kind of weird little town. There was a little bit of that in the original Jeepers Creepers movie when they run into that diner and everybody's just kind of looking at them like, okay.
Outsiders.
Sure. Yeah. We'll call the police. Okay. And you're just kind of like, and you know, before you know what's going on in that movie, it's like, you're just like, oh, okay, we're in this weird town, like, this weird little diner. What's going on here?
I kind of had that happen to me one time in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania.
Tell about that.
Well, basically, it was actually a different Atlantic City trip. We were driving through and we just wanted to stop and grab lunch and maybe like grab a beer or whatever, you know, like as we were going along. So we walk into this place. It's one of the most dimly lit, you know, little bar restaurants I've ever seen. And everybody's just kind of like looking at us. And it's just like, okay, like, hey, we're here doing the same thing.
And it's dimly lit. Guys
are. Yeah, exactly. We're here doing the same thing that you're doing. Like, what's the deal? But then it's like all this shit with the bartender as well. Because my buddy tried to order a drink. And, you know, we're like over 30 at that point, and she refused to take his Ohio license for some reason or another. Like, it was just the writing was on the wall that they didn't want us there
reason. You're a teenager.
Yeah, exactly. Like, for one reason or another, they just did not want us there. So we're just like, okay, you know what? Like, fuck you. Like, we'll leave. We'll go find something else.
Oh, my gosh.
But yeah, it was ridiculous. It was absolutely fucking ridiculous.
So you actually had that experience.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought I was getting punked. I was like, what the fuck is the problem here? Like can I just get like a club sandwich, please? And like
well, you
a
would
Coke?
Think they would want the business.
Yeah,
too.
You would think too, because there's only two other people in there. So like obviously you're not doing well.
Yeah. Oh man.
But I don't know. I don't even remember the name of the spot, but I just remember just being like, guys, let's just go. Like
yeah,
screw this.
What's the name
it's not
of it?
Worth
I'll,
it. Yeah.
I don't know. See, I'll go to it, see what happens.
I was going
to
say, I don't remember. I just remember it was literally middle of nowhere.
Oh
we just
gosh.
Rolled into this tiny little town. And
wow.
Yeah. They might as well have been pointing and screaming Outlanders at us. Like,
oh man.
I don't care.
Outsiders!
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what the fuck is your problem? Like,
yeah.
Dude.
Oh man.
Yeah, it was dumb.
Wow.
But I mean that's what happens.
Yeah.
That's what happens. I used to travel a lot more. So basically, you know, over the weekends I would just more like, you know, buddy I was living with, you know, be like, hey, I'm gonna leave for the weekend, you know, like whatever. He's like, where are you going? I'm like, south.
Yeah.
Like, and I'll get there when I get there. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Like I remember I once drove like, you know, probably 14 hours round trip to go check out a cemetery. So
hey, I like a good cemetery.
Yep, exactly. Okay. Yeah, I went to Dartford Cemetery in Green Lake, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Because it's, I mean, I was there during the day, but it's supposed to be haunted.
Mm-hmm. And they basically have a mausoleum, I guess, that kind of sits up. And the thing is, if you sit on the top of the mausoleum, supposedly you get pushed off.
Ooh.
So.
Wow.
So I want to go check it out and just see for myself.
Yeah. Why not?
It was an account from some story I heard. Somebody, you know, during a occurrence ended up getting scratched as well.
Oh,
so,
my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went and checked it out because, you know, it was a destination. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The dog looks content over there.
Yeah, he's doing all right. Doing okay. You chill, buddy.
Yeah.
You chill.
Aw.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Glad you can make the trip.
Yeah.
So more time, if you want to just like run through all your stuff where everybody can find you.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I love shameless plugs.
Shameless plugs. Here we go. It's that time.
Yep,
yes.
Here we go. Buckle up, everybody.
All right. So, my website is thegothicpelt.com.
Okay.
And that is basically where you can find all my music, a lot of stuff on my projects, and that's kind of my main hub, and you can also find links to all my social media pages, too. But if you just want to search for me on social media, I am on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Like I said before, I do have two YouTube channels. I have my music channel, which is Tiffany Apan, The Gothic Pelt.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have my After Hours Chats podcast, where I talk more about horror, paranormal stuff, and that's more and that's also like some travel to really cool and off the wall places as well. So that's just Tiffany After Hours on YouTube, and then like I said, my Tiffany Apan music, The Gothic Pelt, that's also a separate YouTube channel. But if you go to one channel, you'll find a link to the other. So
okay.
So, and then also on Instagram, I have my music page, Tiffany Apan Music. And then I also have my Tiffany After Hours podcast page as well. Mm. And then also on TikTok, I'm on the handle Tiffany Apan Music. But my TikTok is kind of like a combination of all my stuff.
Okay.
My music, my paranormal stuff, my living history stuff, just everything. And, and if you do want to check out more of my history stuff, I do have some of that on my music YouTube channel, but I also have it on my Substack as well. And that's just tiffanyapan.substack.com. So, yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. Cool. It's awesome.
Yes. All right.
Nice. All right. Well, once again, thank you for coming
on. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose on behalf of Lepotomized, I'm Kevin. Have a good night, everybody.
Have a good night.